Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn. What horrifying things did AWS do last week? We'll get there in a minute. But first, this episode is sponsored by Fearless Salary Negotiation. If you're considering a job from a tech company, specifically a large tech company, and you're wondering how much money they should be paying you, how to effectively negotiate the offer without pooching the deal, then you owe it to yourself to visit fearlesssalarynegotiation.com. They have a bunch of articles, they have ebooks, they offer a customized coaching service. And the man behind all of this is my friend and yours, Josh Duty. Talk to Josh, tell him I sent you. And thanks to Fearless Salary Negotiation for helping us wrest more money from tech companies that, let's not kid ourselves, have far too much of it already. Now, what horrifying things has AWS done? There have been some regional expansions. Specifically, Amazon CloudWatch Synthetics are now available in 13 additional regions, and you can now use EBS Direct APIs for snapshots in 10 additional regions. Which ones? Doesn't really matter, but it feels like my effective cyberbullying about regional expansions not being worth a full announcement is starting to take hold, because they're not making these 10 or 13 different announcements. Amazon GuardDuty announces threat detection enhancements, reducing alert volume and increasing accuracy for common customer-deployed architectures. Well, hang on a second. Isn't reducing alert volume the entire premise behind GuardDuty? Isn't that its entire raison d'être, for lack of a better term? Isn't there really no value to a system that just spits out anything that might be a security issue? Because then you wind up jumping at shadows and ignoring it. So when something legitimate happens, you already have lost interest. All right, good for you, I suppose. Amazon Neptune provides database deletion protection. That's right, everyone's favorite giraffe database is now protected from extinction. Amazon SageMaker now supports TensorFlow 2.0. What makes that awesome and incredible? Couldn't freaking tell you, but it's 2.0. That tells you absolutely nothing about it, but neither does the name TensorFlow, and the fact that the number got bigger and is a round number means that it's important and you should invest in my crappy machine learning startup. Amazon Personalize is now available in Asia Pacific Seoul region, which is awesome because the personalized recommendations have lacked soul until now. Amazon VPC Ingress Routing now supports AWS CloudFormation. Who the hell is configuring VPC routing by hand in the console? That's like straining raw sewage with your teeth. Announcing Amazon Relational Database Service snapshot export to S3, which is fascinating to me because, to my understanding, snapshots have always lived on something that is backed by S3. So this just exposes functionality and lets you treat it differently. It also has this fun thing where you get to know exactly how much it costs. You can do lifecycle policies on it. This is a great enhancement, but it also just makes me scratch my head and wonder how it took this long to get there. I'm sure there are reasons. I just don't know what they are. AWS announces 80% price reduction for CloudEndure disaster recovery. That's right. It is now 80% cheaper to endure the disaster that has been your cloud migration. That depresses me. Let's talk about something less depressing. That's right. This episode is sponsored by Chaos Search. That's right. All caps. Chaos Search has, unlike so many companies, separated out the idea of compute from storage. Store virtually anything you want in S3. They can search it where it sits in your S3 account, in your bucket, and query it in a variety of different ways. APIs you've all come to know and love, and also Elasticsearch, and use this to view log analytics, which is a primary use case of this. This winds up replacing extortionately expensive log analytics tooling and saves you from having to build so much of your own. If you're dealing with log analytics issues, and spoiler, you almost certainly are, you owe it to yourself to visit chaossearch.io and see what they're doing. Tell them Corey Quinn sent you, and they will spacepalm faster than you would believe possible and immediately apologize for anything I may have said about them that they did not sign off on. My thanks again to Chaos Search for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. Check them out. AWS Cloud Map supports editing custom service instance attributes in the AWS console. Those are indeed some words that go together. But Cloud Map is a weird hybrid of service discovery. It's not a map in the sense that you can look at it, understand what's going on in the cloud. No one can do that. But rather, it now lets you get more granular about specific service instances, I think. AWS Code Pipeline enables stopping pipeline executions, which is a wonderful handy feature rather than waiting for them to time out. I've set all of mine to slam to a halt at 11:59 p.m. on Thursdays so I can avoid Friday deployments, as is my tradition. Please never tell Charity Majors about this. AWS Control Tower introduces lifecycle event notifications. For those who haven't been paying rapt attention to what Control Tower is, it's a wrapper around landing zones. It's an account factory, so you can spin up additional AWS accounts in your organization that comply with how you spin up accounts in your company. I'm worried that for a while that Control Tower seemed to have stalled and was largely abandoned. I love the promise of the product, but its current state needs some iterative work. I don't think the most pressing change was lifecycle event notifications, but at least it's a sign of life that the service is still there. AWS Elastic Beanstalk adds support for Windows Server 2019 and .NET Core 3.1. So if you're using Elastic Beanstalk and are thus sad all the time, you can now use Windows Server 2019 and .NET Core 3.1 and continue to be sad all the time. AWS IAM Policy Simulator now simulates permissions boundary policies. Cloud engineers in your company now simulate caring about security until it becomes even slightly inconvenient and they just grant access to everything to everyone. AWS Key Management Service expands support for asymmetric keys. This is where you get to choose your own snarky adventure. Assume that the dumbest thing possible that I could say about cryptography that completely misunderstands what this feature does is what just came out of my mouth. Now feel free to yell at me on Twitter for the stupid thing I just said in your mind. AWS Outposts is now available in 7 new regions and additional countries. As a reminder, Outposts are the rack full of equipment that they ship to your environment that run AWS services. Because let's face it, you suck at running services on crappy hardware, so they fixed some of those things for you, but you will still screw up the power and the network. It still is amusing to me that shipping a rack is somehow tied to a region, but all right. New AWS public datasets are available from Ford, NASA, and NREL, whatever that happens to be. And this is data that is made intentionally public, as opposed to data they accidentally made public in S3 buckets. Query volume metrics are now available for Amazon Route 53 Resolver endpoints. This helps you figure out what's looking at things where. Wow, I made it through that entire blurb without a database joke. Damn it. AWS Data Sync Update now has support for Amazon FSx for Windows File Server. The Data Sync service can now transfer files from Windows file shares is an awesome feature enhancement for you, should you be unfortunate enough to have such a thing lying around your enterprise. I make poor decisions, but not that poor, so I don't. Amazon EKS price reduction. Each Kubernetes control plane now costs you $72 a month instead of $144 a month on AWS. Over on GCP and on Azure, their managed Kubernetes control planes remain at the same cost of zero for the same time frame. In the works, the AWS Osaka local region is expanding to become a full region by 2021. That's right, they have finally gotten so tired of failing to explain what a local region is that it was just easier to turn it into a full region instead, rather than trying to get marketing to clarify their messaging. And lastly, you can now use T3 instances on dedicated single-tenant hardware. But the whole point of T3 instances is that you make it bursty, so when other things are using that system's resources, it can shed load. But if it's dedicated, you're the only user on it. And how would the burstable model? I need to go lie down. That's what happened last week in the world of AWS service releases. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, fixing AWS bills in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them. My thanks to Fearless Salary Negotiation and Chaos Search for sponsoring this ridiculous episode. And I will talk to you next week. How the hell does the burstable? You're the only tenant. You're going to have a baseline. So they're charging you extra if it goes over, but the box is idle already. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you've hated this podcast, I don't care. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. But the T3, it's bursty. I don't understand. I just, what?
This has been a Hubble Pod production. Stay humble.